Tov. The parasha is Dvarim. It's nice to see you again. At least for me, it means I'm back in Yerushalayim, which is a nice thing. The parasha of Dvarim is the first parasha in a difficult sefer, the book of Dvarim. Now, we all know that the Chumash is divided into five Svarim. Breishit, Shemot, Vayikra, Vamidbar, Dvarim. Although we don't know why there were five Svarim. Why couldn't there just be one long Sefer? It's true that the Ramban, I think he was the first one, that gave every Sefer a name, a topic. The first Sefer was about creation. And the second Sefer was about redemption, etc. Okay, that's true. But I'm not sure that explains fully why the Torah divided itself into five portions. However, whatever we say about Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, there is no doubt that the book of Dvarim is different. And this was already noticed by the Ramban. It is introduction to the Torah, not his introduction to the book of Dvarim, which also mentions the uniqueness of the book of Dvarim, but in his introduction to the entire Torah, where he discusses the book of Dvarim at length. So let's look at the first pasuk, for example. Eila hadvarim, asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael, be'eva yardein bamidbar, barava mulsuf, bein parano ven tofel, ve'lavan u'chatzerot v'dizahav. That's what the pasuk says. Now, for our purposes, the thing that is annoying about this pasuk, I mean, there are many things that are annoying, but the first thing that's annoying is that it says, Eila dvarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael. Which sounds like it means that this book of Dvarim was invented in the mind of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's a little hard for us to kind of fathom. For us, it's very simple, that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the 38 years that they were in the desert. So what possibly could this mean? Eila hadvarim asher diber Moshe kol Yisrael. In other words, God is not part of the equation in the book of Dvarim. And if what I say is correct, and I'm just telling you what the Ramban said, if what I say is correct, then it's a little difficult for us to understand what the book of Dvarim is doing as part of the Torah itself. I mean, if it's the invention of Moshe Rabbeinu, then it should have been four books of the Torah, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's musings at the end of his life. Right? Why would this be part of the Torah if in fact the first pasuk is correct? Then you have this odd phenomenon. I mean, just since we read the pasuk, I'm mentioning it, where there are a lot of, in Hebrew they call it nekudot siyun. Right? If you want to locate a place, you know, if you want to go back to the place that you're in, it's very good to have a lot of things to mention about that place. If you look north, you see the mountain. If you look to the east, you see the river. And if you look to the west, you see a pile of stones. I mean, that's how you find a place. So this place that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke the words, which are called the Book of Dvarim, is given the following Nekudot Siyun, points of reference, Bamidbar, Barava, Mulsuf, Bein Paran, Ovein Tofel, Vilavan, Vachatzerot, Vidizahav, not fewer than 8 Nekudot Siyun. 8 to locate a place. It's as though locating the place that Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in which he gave this Torah, is something very important for us to find. So you all know that Rashi, Rashi, if you look at the Rashi's all on the page here. Oh, it's not on the page. I didn't put it in. Rashi points out to us that these names are kind of metaphors. And since Moshe Rabbeinu was about to talk to Bnei Yisrael about the places in which they erred and about the things that they did, so it makes sense, according to Rashi, that the first pasuk will encapsulate that. And somehow all of these words that indicate places, the place that Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in, really refer to events in the history of Moshe Rabbeinu's leaving Mitzrayim and coming here to Avot Moab. I mean, I didn't put it on the sheet, but I'll just mention one of these places, since I had the foresight to bring a Chumash. So you see, we'll take one of them. One of these. Here we are. So, let's say, remember this one? It says, Bein Paran or Bein Tofel. Paran is the name of a place, and Tofel is the name of a place. Vilavan, I guess, should also be the name of a place. But Rashi says, quotes the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chazarnu al kol ha-mikra. We went through the whole Tanakh. I mean, meaning they were just sitting there and like going through the Tanakh. V'lo matzinu makom sheshmo tofel vilavan. And we didn't find mention of a place called Tofel, nor of a place called Lavan. Ela hochichan al advarim shetaflu al haman shu lavan shamru b'nafshenu katsa b'lechem ha-klokel. But lavan is, lavan means white, is representative of the man, which was also white, and they complained about the man. So that what really the Torah is referring to is one of the places where Bnei Yisrael made a mistake and denied God's goodness. The second, Valmasha Asuba Midbar Paran, Al Yudea Meraglim. And in Midbar Paran, that was where the Meraglim left and went to Eretz Yisrael and came back and everything that happened. So according to Rashi, all of these places that are mentioned in the first Pasuk are not just places, but they remind us of things that we did in the desert that we should not have done. That's what Rashi says. Okay. Now look at Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, Vayhi ba'arba'im shana ba'ashtey asar chodesh ba'achad la'chodesh. In other words, ashtey asar chodesh is Nisan is 6, right? Iyar Sivan Tamas of Elul. That's, and the 12th of Elul, on the 40th year of leaving Mitzrayim, Ve'echad l'chodesh, right, of the last month of the year, Dibur Moshe b'nei Yisrael. Again, Dibur Moshe el b'nei Yisrael, Kechol asher tziva Hashem oto aleihem. This is already modified. The first pasuk says, Asher Dibur Moshe el b'nei Yisrael. The third pasuk says, Moshe spoke what God told him to speak. The next pasuk, Achrei hakoto et sichon melech ha-emori asher yoshev b'cheshbon ve'od melech ha-bashan asher yoshev b'ashtarot ve'edrei. So you know that Sichon and Og blocked the way to Eretz Yisrael. Whereas they came to Sichon and Og and they said, we're going to just let us go through, we're not going to bother you, we'll just get some water. And they refused. So they were blocking the way into Eretz Yisrael. The nations led by Sichon and Og had dominion over the crossing into Eretz Yisrael of the Jordan River. So all of this took place Achrei Hakotot Zichon Melech HaMori, Gogog Melech HaBashan. That means that after Bnei Yisrael were now ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu started talking. And Moshe Rabbeinu either spoke for himself, that's Pasuk Aleph, or he spoke things that God told him, that's Pasuk Gimel. And then Pasuk Hey brings us face to face with another mystery. Pasuk Hey. Beva Yarden Be'eretz Moab. That's another way of saying where they are. What was the first way of saying where they are? You see Pasuk Aleph? Bamidbar, Barava, Mosul, Be'baranah, Be'tovel, etc. That was the first way. The second way the Torah mentions where they are is Be'eva Yarden, okay, on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Be'eretz Moab. Be'eretz Moab, that's also in that general area, right? Whether the Moabites and Sichon and Og all live together is not a question I can answer, but it is a place called Eretz Moab, and there they were, ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Before they go into Eretz Yisrael, the Torah tells us, Ho'il Moshe, Be'er et ha-Torah, Hazot Le'mor. Now, what does Ho'il mean? I don't know. What does Rashi say it means? What does Rashi say it means? Ho'il, Hitchil. Moshe Rabbeinu began. Rashi. What did Moshe Rabbeinu begin to do? Ho'il Moshe, Be'er et ha-Torah hazot le'mor. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu began to do. He began to explain the Torah. Now, what could that possibly mean? And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do until the 40th year that they were in the desert? Didn't he explain the Torah to Bnei Yisrael? Didn't he teach them the Torah? Isn't that what he did? He, Moshe Rabbeinu. What else did he do? He taught the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So what, according to Rashi, who says that Ho'il means to start, what was it that Moshe Rabbeinu started to do? So if you look at the Rashi, Rashi Sheikh Sachmid, and he explains it. Be'er et ha-Torah. V'shivim lashon persha lahem. Now this is what you call a mystery. Now you know, what does that mean? What does it mean v'shivim lashon persha lahem? Let's say there is this notion in Chazal that there are 70 languages that make up the languages of the world. But why would we imagine that Bnei Yisrael knew those languages? Or that explaining the Torah in those languages would be helpful to somebody? I mean, it could be that this is a statement about the world, about the future, right? That in the future, we know that the Torah will be translated into many languages, right? The translation of the Torah into Greek is considered by the Gemara to be a prophetic event. You remember? There were 70 translators who were put into 70 rooms, Greek, the Greek translation, and the translation that they made was the same for all of them, including certain deviations that could not have been planned easily in advance. So it's true that in the Gemara, the translation of the Torah into Greek is seen as being an extraordinary event, an event that is worthy of note, but still, that's not 70 languages. That's one. Okay, over the years, it is true that the Torah was translated into every imaginable language, but not usually from Hebrew. In other words, the people who translated the Torah into Ethiopian, right, didn't know Hebrew. They translated it from Greek, right, from the Greek translation of the Bible. Latin was from the Greek. I mean, the translation into English, which is called King James, which was done by a lot of people, most of whom who knew Greek and Latin, but didn't know Hebrew. So is that what this means? that the fact that the Hebrew Bible is translated into many languages, but derivative languages, you know, it's Hebrew to Greek and then Greek to any number of other languages, does that mean that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu did when he was Be'er et HaTorah? I mean, why would he do that? And what does it mean? So you have a pasuk that says, it's a mystery, that Moshe Rabbeinu ho'il l'va'er et HaTorah hazot le'mor. In other words, you would imagine that Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah. Why does Rashi have to say that he translated or that he taught the Torah in 70 languages? I mean, where does that come into the issue? What is Rashi trying to help me with? What is Rashi trying to make sure that I avoid? So if you look at the Ramban that's on the page here, the Ramban says, Hinei yizkir b'kan shnei dvarim. This is the end of the first pasuk of the comment of the Ramban al Torah, the end of it. So if you look at the beginning, you won't find it. You have to look at the end. Hinei yizkir b'kan shnei dvarim. Says there are two different issues that are mentioned here in the Torah. Amar shidiber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Hashem oto alehem. Is that true? That's true. What pasuk is that? What pasuk is that? That is pasuk bet. It says diber Moshe kol Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Hashem oto alehem. So the Ramban says pasuk bet, right? V'zeh remez el ha-mitzvot sheyomar lahem b'sefer hazeh shelo nizkeru ad heina b'Torah. So everybody knows that there are mitzvot mentioned in the book of Dvarim that are only mentioned in the book of Dvarim, not mentioned anywhere else. The example that's often quoted, because we know it's something to remember, is are the laws of divorce, which are mentioned in the book of Dvarim, but not mentioned anywhere else in the Torah. So, in the book of Dvarim, there are things that Moshe Rabbeinu said in the name of God. And what are those things, according to the Ramban? Mitzvot. Mitzvot, in other words, there was like a bundle of mitzvot that had not yet been put into the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu took the opportunity to teach them as part of the book of Devarim. That's what the Ramban says. Va'amar, Shehen k'chol asher tzivah ot Hashem, lo yisif v'lo gara, mashin itztaveh. And furthermore, the pasuk says, k'chol asher tzivah Hashem oto alehem, which means that there was a precision involved. Moshe Rabbeinu taught precisely what he had learned. The mitzvot, as he learned them, that's what he taught. V'izkir zeh, bavur shelo amar bahem, v'yedaber Hashem el Moshe. And the reason for that, reason for this pasuk bet, the reason that in pasuk bet it says, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught the mitzvot just as he had learned the mitzvot exactly, was because you might be confused. Because the book of the fifth book of the Torah does not start with the words "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe," but it starts with the words "Ela dvarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael." Okay. V'lachen kalal otam ata shehem kulam kechol asher nitzdava mipi Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says the mitzvot in the book of Dvarim that appear only in the book of Dvarim are surely mitzvot that Moshe Rabbeinu heard about from the mouth of God. God taught him these mitzvot, he taught them to Bnei Yisrael. V'ma'od. Remember he said at the beginning, Hinei yizkir b'kan shnei dvarim. There are two different points that are made in the Torah. The first point, therefore, is that there are mitzvot in the book of Dvarim, just like there are mitzvot in any other book of the Torah. And just as in the other books of the Torah, God taught them to Moshe Rabbeinu, in the book of Dvarim, God also taught them to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "Lechein kalal otam." Sorry, "V'amar od ki ho'il Moshe be'er et ha'Torah." Furthermore, the pasuk says, Ho'il Moshe be'er Torah, which is a new idea. What is the idea? V'zeh remez b'mitzvot shenemru kvar. And in this part of the pasuk, Ho'il Moshe be'er, is a remez. Remez for the Ramban means it's written there. It's really there. It's not the answer to a puzzle question. Remez means it's absolutely in the Torah. Just like pshat is in the Torah and drash is in the Torah, remez is also in the Torah. So what's the remez according to the Ramban? The mitzvot shenemar kvar sheyachzor otam leva'er otam ulechadesh bahem dvarim. He says, Ho'il Moshe be'er, that the reference is to mitzvot that are told in the Torah for a second time. Like the mitzvot about Bad Yom Tov, Bad Yamim Tovim, in the parasha of Re'eh, which also appears in the parasha of Pinchas. So he says, we have things that are repeated in the book of Dvarim. So why were they repeated? Why were they repeated? So, you know, the Ramban elsewhere says that they're repeated as Musar. You know what Musar is? So what is, like, how do you recognize Musar? Musar is when the person who's speaking keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Then you know it's Musar. So the Ramban says, you know, Musar is when you repeat yourself again and again. But here he says, no. There's another kind of repetition. A kind of repetition which looks like it's repetitive. It looks like you're saying the same thing over again. But if you look very carefully, you'll see there are chidushim. There are novel ideas in the repetition that weren't there when Moshe Rabbeinu taught it the first time around. And therefore, it's important for us. It's important to read the repetitive material in the book of Dvarim very carefully. And that's what the Ramban says. V'zeh remez, b'mitzvot she'ne'emru kvar, she'achzor otam leve'er otam, u'lechadesh bahem Dvarim. I would underline that. What does lechadesh bahem Dvarim mean? What? It's not Musa. Okay, good. But what is it? Something new? What do we call something new in the Torah? What do we really call something new? We call it Torah Shebaal Peh. Is that what we call? You learn Gemara, right? What do you do when you learn Gemara? You try to have a novel suggestion, an interesting idea. Right, which maybe was never said before. So that koach, according to the Ramban, I mean, I'm giving it a little bit leeway, but I think that that's what the Ramban means. That where does the notion of chidush, of novel ideas, come from? It comes from this pasuk. Ho'il Moshe be'er et ha'Torah hazot. So that the be'er is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, and not God. And what was it that Moshe Rabbeinu left us with? What was the inheritance that we received from Moshe Rabbeinu? That we're not stymied. That if there's a question that's asked, and that question has never been answered before, it's still likely that we will be able to answer that question. It's still reasonable to expect that whoever is knowledgeable in Torah will be able to deal with that question. And that comes from Ho'il Moshe Be'er. So what does the book of Devarim consist of according to the Ramban? It is mitzvot. And those mitzvot are then divided up again into two groups. And the first group are mitzvot which Moshe Rabbeinu learned at Har Sinai, but had not yet taught to Bnei Yisrael, so he taught them to Bnei Yisrael. And the second thing the Ramban says about mitzvot is that sometimes mitzvot are repeated. And that we've learned something now in Dvarim that we've already learned in an earlier part of the Torah. So he says, that's Ho'il Moshe Be'er. that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the mitzvot because he wanted to add something. He wanted to say something. And by adding something and saying something, according to the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu invented L'chadesh Bahem Dvarim. And because Moshe Rabbeinu invented L'chadesh Bahem Dvarim, as I told you several times, the Jewish people did not come to an end when Moshe Rabbeinu died. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu had to somehow convince Bnei Yisrael that there was life after Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he had not convinced them of that, that there's life after Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole enterprise would have died. Because everybody would say, there's no way for us to find out what God wants anymore. When Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, he told us what God wants. What now? What are we to do now? So the answer was that Bnei Yisrael would on their own be able to create chidushim, new and novel ideas, which would in turn enable us to know, enable us to know exactly what God wanted from us, even though it wasn't written anyplace. That's the point that he makes. V'tam ho'il Moshe. Now he says, let's look at that word, ho'il. Remember what Rashi said? Rashi said that ho'il means, right, to start something. The Ramban says, Shratzal v'el emet ha-Torah, v'izkir kein, lo'dia ki mi'atzmo ra'a la'asot kein. And he says the reason that the pasuk says Ho'il Moshe Leva'er is because Moshe Rabbeinu was his idea. He knew that there would be no future. There would be no future for Bnei Yisrael if they didn't understand that they could continue to sort of take the word right with a grain of salt to create Torah. But it's not, I'm not the only one who said that. Rabbi Yehuda Levi said it, and others, that Torah is a kind of ever-evolving mass. It doesn't stay the same. Because if it would always stay the same, then it wouldn't be able to deal with new realities. The only way that it deals with new realities is by saying that we can explain the Torah so that it answers the question of the new reality. Okay? Uvilashin ho'ilna v'lin. In other words, please rest here. V'lo alnu v'yeneshe v'chein rabim. It appears a lot, the Ramban says, in this word appears a lot in the Tanakh. So we have a little bit of background information. What I'd like to do is look at the pre-tzadik on the second page. It's long, but we won't learn it all, I think. We'll learn some of it. The Pre-Tzadik is found Rosh Chodesh Shvat, right? In the second volume of the Pre-Tzadik Shmot, he takes a break from his commentary on the Parashat HaShavua and talks about Shvat, about the Rosh Chodesh, the month of Shvat. And in there, in the sixth section of his discussion, we have this. So we'll learn it a little bit. Let's start from the beginning. V'amar ha'kach bi'otiyot Rabbi Akiva is a medrash. L'fi she'b'shah she'amar Moshe l'vnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hein ani aral svatayim. You remember when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go, be the shaliach. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go. He said, hein ani aral svatayim, which I don't know exactly what that means, but I know it means that I can't speak so well. And Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he was poorly prepared for this job of being the shaliach to Paro. However, and so Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, "Ein ani aral svatai." But we can't understand if God says to you, "You Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the most appropriate one for this job." So Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, yes, I'll go. And then God explains to Moshe Rabbeinu that, who creates people, who gives them Who gives them assets and deficits? I mean, it's God. So what do you, it's all comes from God. So stop hacking at China. That's what God says to Moshe Rabbeinu. So look again. The fee should be Sha'asha Ma Moshe Bnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eda Niri Arav Sfatayim. I'm on the third line. Nizda'azu kol briyot sheba'olam v'amru Ma Moshe Shatid lidaber bo mishchina b'kuf al yehi mekomot. There are 175 times that God says Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Lemor b'kuf ayin hei parshiyot sheba'torah. So there are all these connections between God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu and happened again and again. So he says, line 8, V'amar, V'hu miva'er kol ot va'ot v'kol davar v'davar v'kol pasuk u'pasuk sheba Torah ba'ayin lashon. He says, there in that Medrash, right? Let's go again. The Medrash is called Otiyot Rabbi Akiva. That's what it's called. And then he quotes the Medrash. And what is he quoting in the Medrash? That even though Moshe Rabbeinu said to God on the Yom Kippur, which sounds like it means he can't talk, how could he talk? He was able to repeat every letter of the Torah and every word of the Torah and every idea of the Torah. That was all Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he adds, the Medrash adds, Ba'ayin Lashon. Ayin Lashon means like an almost infinite number of interpretations. That's line 9. V'haynu k'moshe ne'emar be'eret ha-Torah. Be'eret ha-Torah. Where does it say that? Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey. That's what it says, that Moshe Rabbeinu had this capacity. U'pirish Rashi. V'ayin Lashon Pirsha Alehem, right? Remember? That's what Rashi said. 70 languages. V'lamdu b'gizeirah shabab l'chtim b'er heitev ayin sham. And this is like b'er heitev, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. That's at the end of the book of Dvarim, b'er heitev. Hu omer l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hein anir al shvatayim? Ano alachat v'akama v'akama? He says, what do you mean by so Moshe Rabbeinu was in our al shvatayim? So what are we? And we don't know anything compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. Haynu masha ma Moshe Rabbeinu ki kvad peh u'kvad lashon anochi. In the same parish at the beginning of Shemot, Moshe Rabbeinu says kvad peh, kvad lashon. Usually you interpret kvad peh like stutter, somebody who doesn't speak clearly. And kvad lashon, the same. Shehu kineged peh V'dibur. Peh v'dibur, right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Kvad peh, my mouth. Kvad lashon, my ability to speak. Shenikra midat malchut Torah sheba'al peh. V'ptichat peh. U'mane lashon anizkar le'el. So, he reminds us that peh and lashon are connected to Torah sheba'al peh. Because Torah Sheba'al Peh exists in the world only when you speak. When you say the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Shebichtav, the Torah, it's here in the Aron Kodesh, right? I don't have to see it. I don't have to look at it for it to live. It lives because it's there. But Torah Sheba'al Peh is different. Torah Sheba'al Peh is different. You need to speak it. If you don't speak Torah Sheba'al Peh, it's not there. It's hidden away someplace in your mind, but it's not there. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kvad peh v'kvad lashon, when he spoke about himself, he said, Kvad peh v'kvad lashon, what was he saying? According to the pre-tzaddik, he's saying, look, Ribbono shel Olam, I can go up on the mountain, and I can receive the Torah, and I can even give it to Bnei Yisrael. But I'm a kvad peh, the kvad lashon. How am I ever going to be able to teach Torah Sheba'al Peh? I don't know anything. I don't have a Jewish education. I didn't go to yeshiva. I haven't learned all the masechtot of Shas. I'm kvad peh, the kvad lashon. So if you give me something and tell me to pass it on to Bnei Yisrael, I'll be able to do that. But Torah Sheba'al Peh, you have to be in it. How am I going to pass on the Torah Sheba'al Peh? What is he talking about? He's talking about the creative force of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Not the Torah Sheba'al Peh, as the Rambam makes the distinction. You know, there are different kinds. There's the Torah Sheba'al Peh, which tells you what the pasuk means. Like we're talking about tefillin. The Torah talks about tefillin. So somebody has to come and say, look, this is what tefillin look like. If no one shows you what they look like, you'll never know what they look like. I mean, so is that Torah Sheba'al Peh or Torah Shebichtav? What the tefillin look like. So you could say it's Torah Shebichtav because it's the simple understanding of what it says in the pasuk. But Torah Sheba'al Peh, as the Ramban says, is the koach lechadesh. It's the power that enables us to create the ongoing Torah. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I won't be able to do that because I'm poorly educated. I'll be able to pass on what you give me, but I'm not going to be able to pass on the ideas because I'm kvad peh and kvad lashon ani. Now if you look at line 18, Lama od, ubishvil shama Moshe kvad peh, v'reish dvarim anochi, zacha sh'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, peh el peh adaber bo. Again, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so straightforward about his own limitation, what do we call that? We call that humility. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to practice a humility even in the face of a directive from God, he was able to say to God, look, I'm an Amoretz. I don't really know what it takes to know to do this. Because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu, because he said, Kvad Peh, he was Zoche to Peh El Peh. That God spoke to him directly. The only person ever to receive direct speech from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so, just one second. If we look at line 25. Sefer Dvarim hu shoresh kol Torah Sheba'al Peh. And he says, Sefer Dvarim is the shoresh of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Because Sefer Dvarim is Eila HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe. And what are the things that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to speak? As according to the Ramban, the Chidushim, the additional material that's necessary in order to deal with the reality through the generations. And so, one second, let's skip a little bit more. Here. One second. Here. Line 36. Umasik shenemar. You see, 36, Shenemar v'anochi eyeh impicha v'horeiticha. Look at that pasuk. That pasuk appears twice. Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Bet Vata Lech. The discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is summarized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go. I mean, it's good you could compare this to the story of Bilam talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't go, and Bilam said, yes, go, and here the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I'm not going to go. And then the summarizing pasuk, Vata lech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you go and be the shaliach. What about his argument? What about Moshe Rabbeinu's argument that he didn't have a mouth and he wasn't able to speak? Right, I mean, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu said it. It must have been true. Nu, Vata lech, Vanochi eyeh impicha. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is being promised that he's going to be able to do something that he knows he can't do. but God will enable him to do that. And what is the something that Moshe Rabbeinu knows that he can't do? He can't be mechadesh Torah Shebaal Peh. HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe Rabbeinu, since you're so aware of your shortcomings, and means you're aware of Torah, you're deserving, you deserve to have this advantage. And Anochi Eye Impicha. And then the second part of the Pasuk is, V'horeiticha Asher Adaber, and I, God, will teach you what you should say. So that the origin of Torah Shebaal Peh is with Moshe Rabbeinu as far as B'nai Yisrael are concerned. But the Pasuk says that where does the Torah Shebaal Peh ultimately come from? It comes from God. And this was the resolution of the discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu according to the three tzaddik. And therefore the book of Dvarim is the book of the resolution. It's the book that represents this resolution. V'anochi ayem picha, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we say, when? Where? How? Ah, Eila Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe. The Ramban further circumscribes it by saying, we're not talking about the mitzvot that are new, because that's like Matan Torah throughout Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar. But we're talking about those mitzvot where Moshe Rabbeinu takes the trouble to repeat them because he has insights into them. So look at what the Pritzadik says. Line 36. Masik sheneemar. V'anochi eye impicha v'horeiticha. Right, this is the conclusion of the discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perek Dalet Posek Yud Bet. In picha, zo p'tichat peh umana lashon. Now, as you say you can't speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that you will be able to speak. In picha, zo p'tichat peh umana lashon, v'ze sh'ne'emar v'oreiticha. What does v'oreiticha mean? Meant to teach. Ze ginzei chochma shegilalo. God made wisdom known to Moshe Rabbeinu, to enable him to fully carry out his task of passing the Torah, which we now know consists of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, down to the people. Bechol Beiti Ne'eman, it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Melameid Shehifkido HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kol Yisrael, Al Kol Ginzei. What does Ne'eman mean? Ne'eman means that he doesn't waver. He never changes. A person who doesn't change, who doesn't waver, he can take the Torah and the secrets of the Torah Sheba Al Peh. Mlamei Chif Kido HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Yisrael V'Kol Ginzei V'Chulei. V'Chishav Ginzei HaTorah, Ginzei Chochma, Ginzei Tvura, Ginzei Mizima, Ginzei Mada, Ginzei, what do you think that is? Ginzei Chayim, Ayin Sham Zion Lishonot. Okay, so there you have it. That's what the Pritzadik told us. What? Yeah, could be. I just don't remember. There is, according to the Pritzadik, there's a tension between the way Moshe Rabbeinu saw the job and the ability that he felt he was missing in order to do the job properly. Because the job was Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And Torah Shebaal Peh doesn't only mean the oral explanation of the written word. That's a simple kind of Torah Shebaal Peh, which the Rambam mentions in his introduction to the Mishnah and elsewhere. But Torah Shebaal Peh means that there is a Torah which is waiting to be revealed. It's Baal Peh. It's not the Torah that you memorized yesterday. It's the Torah that no one has yet spoken. So the Torah that no one has yet spoken, that's called Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu introduces us in the beginning of the book of Dvarim, And that's Eilad Moshe Diber Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Hoel Moshe Be'er Satarazos, the Shivim Lishonot. The Shivim Lishonot are a metaphor for new interpretations, always new interpretations, new insights, and that's what the Ramban says. That's what the Ramban says in his commentary. Have a good Shabbos. It's summer, you know, in the summer, so it's a little shorter. Yeah. What? Yeah, but that's pshat.
That's considered pshat.
I would say, but that's.
And then the Torah Shvelte are the sodot ha'olam. Do I understand that?
Also, but also sodot of the Torah. Like, let's say, where do you build your sukkah when you're at a cliff or something? You know, all kinds of strange shilas that come up.
So where did all that information go from?
It didn't exist.
No, from Dvarim. Didn't some of that get lost?
I don't know, but we know that all the questions that are asked in the Mishnah, for example,
yeah.
No one asked them before the Mishnah.
No one asked them before the Mishnah.
Yeah. Or if somebody asked them, they weren't well known. They became well known questions in the Mishnah.
Thank you.
Shabbos, good Shabbos.
The Mishnah is basically the style of telling stories. Basically, stuff the Mishnah. I don't know who this Mishnah was. Maybe Shabbo or whatever.
Yeah, Nachman.
Yeah, and then there's maybe Nachman. He's really. And that's it. How come it's not done?
Because we're into precision. We became enamored with precision. And any attempt to get us back into Agadita was rejected. The Marashah, the Maharal, Ben Yaakov. I mean, these are not the mainstays of yeshiva learning. Right? It was, we basically rejected lack of precision for precision.
But that was the example you gave for our analysis of the God of Christ. More stories.
Yeah, so it's like all Torah Shabbat Rabbi Nachman said, oh, it's in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. There should be a way of continuing it. That's practical and that helps. So he did. But people generally don't. I mean, they tell stories, but the stories they tell are not critical to anything. They're always examples of something that we know already. They're not an attempt to teach us something new. So if a good speaker tells a story, aloud tells a story, he doesn't tell a story to teach you something new. He tells the story. It's an example of something that everybody knows. Rav Nachman was trying to teach us new things, which was remarkable. Whereas in the Maharal, the Marashah, they're trying to explain the Agadita sometimes in new and interesting ways.
No,
Cook also the same. And Ayah, it's only on Brachos and Shabbos, but he definitely did it. In his way. In his way of thinking about things. All the best.